If you love the Godfather movies, then you'll love Take the Cannoli, the Godfather podcast. Each week, we take a few minutes to talk about anything and everything Godfather, including business and leadership lessons from the Godfather. Here's your consigliere, Lou Bortone.
Mario Puzo, the mastermind behind The Godfather. How did Mario Puzo create a mafia universe so accurate that even mobsters were convinced that he had to have been connected? Well, aside from growing up in New York City's Hell's Kitchen with an Italian mother, turns out that Puzo was a big-time, maybe even degenerate, gambler. His obsession for gambling started at a very young age when he'd pitch pennies and play poker well into the night in the neighborhood. So it's no surprise that Puzo's favorite place in the world was Vegas. He just loved casinos, and he spent a lot of time in Las Vegas. As a result, he was always in debt and almost always desperate for cash. The one positive aspect of Mario Puzo's gambling addiction was that he knew that world all too well, and the casino business is not that much different than the mob business. In fact, while he was writing his mafia novel, Puzo spent weeks in Vegas at the Sands Hotel, where he rationalized that he'd be doing research for the book. His time in Vegas provided Puzo with a wealth of material for what would become the Godfather novel. He befriended a casino manager named Ed Walters, who had a history with the mob, and Puzo absorbed Walters' mob stories like a sponge. He learned firsthand about Carlo Gambino, the head of New York's most powerful crime family. It's said that Puzo modeled Don Corleone in part after Gambino, who was mild-mannered, quiet, and methodical. While Carlo Gambino's demeanor may have partly inspired Vito Corleone, the real inspiration for the Godfather character actually came from an unlikely source. Puzo's mother, Maria LeConte, grew up in a village outside of Naples. It was said the toughest, most formidable person in Puzo's life was his mother, and he used her as the basis for the matriarch, Lucia Santa, in his 1965 novel, The Fortunate Pilgrim. Unfortunately, Puzo's first two novels, The Dark Arena and The Fortunate Pilgrim, had been critical and commercial failures. But Puzo's mother would greatly influence The Godfather. Puzo has said that without his mother, he never would have created Don Vito Corleone. In fact, Puzo was quoted as saying, "Whenever the Godfather opened up his mouth, in my mind, I heard the voice of my mother." So anyone who tells you that Don Corleone is based on this gangster or that mafia boss, remember that the Godfather was actually inspired by Puzo's own mother. He'd go on to credit her wisdom, her ruthlessness, and her unconquerable love for her family as the inspiration for the Don. Puzo was also surrounded by gangsters growing up in Hell's Kitchen, which was considered at the time New York's Neapolitan ghetto, and many of his childhood experiences made it into his novel. The Puzos even had a kindly neighbor who would look out for them. Puzo's mother was a single mom. Puzo said that the children in his family would call their benefactor Godfather. It was the first time Puzo heard the phrase that would change his destiny. His kindly neighbor and godfather was a generous man, so it never occurred to them that he was also a man who could commit murder for a price. Puzo later realized this was how a mafia family got politicians, police, and judges in their pockets. Friendship and favors, Puzo said. They were nice guys who would help you when you need it, but all to be repaid one day. So maybe it's not too surprising that Puzo would describe Don Corleone this way in his novel. Quote, "Don Vito Corleone was a man to whom everybody came for help, and never were they disappointed. He made no empty promises, nor the craven excuse that his hands were tied by more powerful forces than himself. It was not necessary that you had no means with which to repay him. Only one thing was required, that you yourself, proclaim your friendship. And then, no matter how poor or powerless the supplicant, Don Corleone would take that man's troubles to his heart." Puzo grew up poor and didn't go to college, but he knew he wanted to be a writer. Of course, that was completely impractical for a kid from the tenements. But when World War II broke out, Puzo saw it as an opportunity to escape from Hell's Kitchen and his go-nowhere future. He enlisted immediately and ended up in Patton's army driving a Jeep. After the war, Puzo stayed in Germany where he met and married his wife, Erica. Now, family life wasn't easy for the food and gambling obsessed Puzo, who always seemed to be in debt. He cut his teeth cranking out Pulp Fiction for a magazine company. Meanwhile, he worked on his second novel, Fortunate Pilgrim, which he hoped would be his breakout book. But sales were dismal and he only earned about $3,000. However, one of the characters in The Fortunate Pilgrim was a mob boss, and his editors suggested that he should write, quote-unquote, more about that mafia stuff. Puzo was 45 years old with a wife and kids and 20 grand in debt, finally decided it was time to forget about writing art, just sell out and write a commercial bestseller. So he began work on his mafia novel. There are conflicting stories about what happened next, but rumor has it that Puzo was summoned to Paramount Pictures, at the time a quickly sinking has-been movie studio. Puzo had nothing more than 100 rough pages of his unfinished mafia novel, but new Paramount chief Robert Evans was looking for books to make into films. Supposedly, Evans took pity on Puzo and offered him $12,500 for the script, against another $50,000 if Paramount ever made the movie. Puzo, ever desperate for cash, agreed. Of course, now Puzo had to actually finish the book. Puzo eventually turned in the manuscript to his editor at Putnam in July 1968. Not because he felt it was good or it was done, but because he needed the last $1,200 of his advance to take his family on a long-promised trip to Europe. While Puzo was maxing out his credit cards in Europe, an editor from Fawcett Paperbacks asked Puzo's agent if there had been any paperback offers for the book. Puzo's agent, Candida Donadia, got an offer for $350,000. By the time Puzo returned from Europe, the offer had ballooned to $410,000. That's $3 million in today's dollars, the highest ever paid for paperback rights to a book. Puzo was both dumbfounded and delighted. The hardcover was finally published in March of 1969 and became a bestseller almost instantly. The infamous Puppet Strings book cover was designed by S. Neil Verjuta, who had also created NBC's Today Show logo. The reviews for the Godfather novel were glowing. The Saturday Review called The Godfather a staggering triumph. "You can't stop reading it," raved New York Magazine. In Marlon Brando's biography, Somebody, author Stephen Canfor said that Puzo, quote, "fed the public's desperate appetite for rationality and control, even at the hands of criminals. Readers, battered by too much news, too much information about strife at home and abroad, made The Godfather a phenomenal bestseller. It was as if they needed to believe a Vito Corleone actually existed, that a mafia don could exact revenge against wrongdoers, seeking his own kind of justice, controlling vast swatches of modern life from his living room," end quote. The Godfather spent a record-breaking 67 weeks on the bestseller list. And when the paperback was released, it became the fastest-selling and best-selling fiction paperback of all time. Finally, at the age of 48, Puzo was a financial and literary success. He was no longer the family chooch or jackass he had always considered himself. Having now scaled the heights of publishing, there was only one place for Puzo to go next: Hollywood. But that's another story for another episode. Be sure to check out other episodes of the Godfather podcast on YouTube or wherever you watch or listen to podcasts. You can also find more info on my speaker site at loubortonespeaks.com. Ciao for now.
Thanks for listening to Take the Cannoli, the Godfather podcast with Lou Bortone. Join us again next time. We know what's good for you. The Beige.